Hi there, and welcome back to the North Shore Alliance podcast. Continuing our series, Tanakh, we go over the books Ezra and Nehemiah, books centered around the rebuilding of the city walls of Jerusalem. Alongside the physical rebuilding of the walls is a spiritual rebuilding on top of the word of the Lord. And this is the real triumph that God invites all of us into. Here's Pastor Dave with the sermon.
My name is Dave Sattler, and I'm one of the pastors here at North Shore Alliance Church. Thank you for joining us, those who are watching online, first-timers, long-timers, people who are new to Canada, out-of-town guests, we're excited that you've made church a priority today. It's time now to look to God's Word, and here at North Shore Alliance Church, we believe that one of the primary ways that God speaks to us and shapes and guides our lives is through His Word, the Bible. Today, we continue our sermon series called Tanakh, and I've been very inspired by this man's hair. And so for the last couple of months, I've been working on that hairdo, just so you know. Tanakh is a combination of letters the people of Israel used to describe the Old Testament scriptures. Sadly, these days, the Old Testament often gets a bad rap, deemed by some to be antiquated, barbaric, or even second rate. There are scholars and church leaders today who wish to toss the Old Testament out altogether. And I think there's a warning here in church history that offers some guidelines. With the New Testament freshly written and circulated, 3rd century scholar and theologian Origen of Alexandria taught Christians to read the entire Bible as the living Word of God, a book that is always fresh, always new, always contemporary, always more profound than it appears on the surface. Not just the New Testament, but Tanakh, too, showcases the grand narrative. God works in history to restore humanity and help them rebuild their lives around relationship with Him. This is the story in which we all live and belong. Have you ever tried to build something? I know that we have many talented builders here in this room. I am not one of them. But even the most experienced might admit that building rarely goes as planned. True? Many years ago, our house in Lynn Valley backed onto a ravine and we had 4 little kids. So for some strange reason, I thought I could build us a chain link fence. So I visited Home Depot, I talked to a few friends, I studied chain link fences. And eventually I built a beautiful one to span the back of our property. And quite proud when no one else was looking, I would often stand on the back deck and observe my handiwork for about 1 week. Then a bear climbed over it and toppled my masterpiece and my pride along with it. And I was forced to rebuild. Fans of the Vancouver Canucks know this word very well, rebuild. Controversial. Our hockey team has floundered in the messy middle or near the bottom of the league for the past decade, and management stubbornly refused to concede. Instead, they signed many poor players to terrible contracts while all the time using rhetoric like tweak, retool, or rework when what the team actually needed was a rebuild. Mercifully, a few weeks ago, with all those guys fired under new leadership, the rebuild finally began. And this brings us to the situation in today's Tanakh writings. As Pastor John preached last week, God, in His mercy and love, confronted His people through the prophet Jeremiah. Reform your ways and actions, the Lord says, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in the deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You see, their idols were subtle. In their smug religiosity, the people put their trust in the beautiful temple building and in their acts of worship. They'd come to rely upon the power and protection of the city walls that they'd built and not on God Himself. Idols, whatever they are never good for us. And so as consequence, God allowed enemies to topple their idols. The temple was destroyed. The walls were broken down. People were killed, and others were taken into exile in Babylon. And it's in exile that we meet two incredible leaders in the Bible. God raises up Ezra and Nehemiah, two of the most exemplary leaders in all of Scripture. These two are men of God and men of action. They are organized. Do you know that I counted 38 lists in Ezra and Nehemiah? I love making lists. I just also want to pause to dedicate this sermon to our beloved grandson who bears the name Ezra. I know we have another Ezra here too. He is a wonderful guy, and I dedicate this sermon to our grandson Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah form just one book in the Hebrew Bible. And though we find them midway in our Bibles, chronologically, Ezra and Nehemiah actually belong at the end of the Old Testament. And today we're going to look at four scriptures and four movements in the narrative. Let's jump in. We begin at Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation through his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel. Let's pause for a moment just to pray. God, we thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is living and active here today. I pray, God, that you would come now and move me out of the way and come and speak to us by your Spirit. Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh on us today? God, I ask that you would come and bring your words of comfort and challenge. God, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive your word today. God, I pray that you might even do some rebuilding through the power of your word and the presence of your Spirit here today. God, we ask that you come and speak now. We're hungry to hear from you. In Jesus' name and for his glory, we pray. Amen. Narrative movement number one. God moves the heart of the most powerful person in the world at that time, Cyrus, king of Persia, to return Jewish exiles to their homeland to rebuild the temple. In the run of world history, we know the mighty Roman Empire. Most of us have studied it. It's the backdrop for the New Testament. And before that, there was Alexander the Great. And before him came the great Persian Empire, spanning several hundred years and setting the stage for the conclusion of Tanakh. As consequence for disobeying God and refusing to heed the prophet's warnings, God's people were exiled to Babylon or Persia in Persepolis near Iran's modern-day city of Shiraz. And I'm told by my Iranian friends that Shiraz is a city of poets, literature, wine, and flowers today. It's important to note the point of God's discipline. It's not to punish or hurt his children. God never disciplines without the offer of restoration. God's plan, his aim, is always to restore his people. And in a passage that reads a bit like Exodus chapter 1, the Lord sees his people's difficult situation. God never abandons them. God even goes so far as to move the heart of Cyrus the Great to rescue his people from exile. Perhaps you find yourself today feeling heavy under the weight of our world. Given geopolitics, disparity in global economics, oppressive systems that seem to govern our planet, it can be hard to feel hopeful some days or to see a God who remains in control with power above it all. And Ezra and Nehemiah remind us of the truth that God's people have held on to for centuries. God is sovereign over history and even directs global powers to fulfill his purposes. And this is what spurs God's people on when they return to their homeland. Ezra 3 says, despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built an altar on the temple's foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, he is good, his love endures forever. God is in control, and they celebrate. You notice, first things first, before they rebuilt anything, they build an altar, and the people worshiped, and they praised God for giving them another chance. Scripture number 2. Here we meet Ezra in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The Lord had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the 5th month of the 7th day of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the 1st day of the 1st month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the 1st day of the 5th month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. Verse 10, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Narrative movement number 2. Teacher Ezra returns to lead God's people in spiritual renewal. We have to fast forward 80 years from the first passage that I read, and there's been a few Persian kings in the meantime. And by this time, the temple in Jerusalem would have been mostly rebuilt, but the people likely didn't know how to use the temple or how to even relate to God. And so because his people were in desperate need of spiritual renewal, God prompts King Artaxerxes to send Ezra to his homeland, which would have been a 4-month journey, to run a religious education program. So like I said, if you remember, I'm sure you all remember my sermon 2 months ago on Exodus. God took his people out of Egypt, but then God had to take Egypt out of his people. This was part of the reason why they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Slavery, exile, have their way of crushing people, of conforming them to a culture all around them. And so here in Ezra and Nehemiah, God takes his people out of Persia, but then God needs to take Persia out of his people. For those who are here today who are new to Christianity, or maybe you're coming from another religion, or maybe you've been versed your whole life in secularism, no faith at all, there is a certain reprogramming, a transformation of heart and mind that God wants to do in us to set us free, to truly follow him. And this is the sweet journey of discipleship into which God, the God of the Christian story, invites us. It's actually tough to find a leader the Bible speaks more glowingly of than Ezra. Did you catch it? Twice, in 4 verses, it says, the hand of the Lord was on Ezra. Wow. Now for you, the hand of God might conjure up the image of Maradona's famous handball goal 40 years ago that sunk England in the 1986 World Cup. How amazing was Canada's win on Thursday? Sorry. That's not what we're talking about. Here's the point. Sometimes God puts his hand on humans to lead his people. Christian leadership is never about self-promotion. From time to time, God raises people up. He equips them to accomplish his tasks. He puts his guiding hand of favor on them, and he works through them to lead his people forward in beautiful and even miraculous ways. What also stands out about Ezra is his commitment to the scriptures. Back when I was a young pastor, many, 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 many years ago, I was in my 20s. I was summoned to a meeting with a church elder who was in his 80s, and I'll never forget what he told me. He said, Dave, it's not the preaching that's difficult. It's the living. says Ezra devoted himself to study, observe, and teach God's word to his people. And this order is important. Study, live, then teach. Solid counsel for anyone aspiring to leadership in the church. Scripture number 3, Nehemiah chapter 1. Here we meet the great Nehemiah. Men came back from Judah and reported to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." And Nehemiah writes, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, 'Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night in your servants, for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses.'" Narrative movement 3, site superintendent Nehemiah begins with prayer and then returns to lead the people to rebuild the city wall. He had a very interesting job. If you read the rest of Nehemiah 1, he was cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah's job was to ensure the safety and quality of the king's food and drink. Here, he's in exile, and God raises up Nehemiah and gives him a prominent spot in the ear of the king of Persia. Well, reports come that those who had returned to their homeland were in great trouble. Back in Jerusalem, the walls had been broken down and burned with fire. And before Jeremiah does anything else, before he problem solves, workshops a plan, presses the panic button, or blames some of his useless coworkers, he meets this problem with prayer. Do you know that there's at least 7 more times in the book of Nehemiah where Nehemiah prays? Before he is a man of action with lists and plans, Nehemiah is a man of prayer. Prior to returning to Jerusalem, Nehemiah wrestles with God in prayer for 4 months with much confession and crying out to God. Truth is, before we tackle a problem, God invites us to pray. What is it that you're struggling with today? Perhaps you've received some hard news from family or friends here or back home. Maybe there's a huge problem that lies before you. Or maybe you're grasping for wisdom or struggling to find direction. I encourage you to bring it before God. Pray, pour your heart out to him. The rebuild faces many challenges from inside and out. Back in the book of Ezra, if we backtrack a little bit, we know the story. There's enemy opposition and cost overruns that halt the temple construction for 20 years. Until a royal document lost in a Persian library is found, and in reading it, the current king of Persia is reminded that old King Cyrus had agreed to pay for it all. And ironically, this discovery reboots the project. Read it, it's an amazing story. Reality is, when God is at work, we can expect opposition. The rest of the story of Nehemiah tells how site superintendent Nehemiah leads the people in rebuilding the city walls in 41 days only. And you know that some of those walls are still standing today. I've seen them. I took this picture myself. I did a bit of a thought experiment this week. What have I built or given my life to that will still be standing 2,500 years from now? Definitely not my chain link fence in Lynn Valley. Scripture number 4, Nehemiah chapter 8. The temple and walls had been rebuilt. The Israelites had settled in their towns. So all the people came together as one, and Ezra opened the book. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, Tanakh, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people who had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food," pancakes coming soon, "and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Verse 18, day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. Narrative movement number four. Ezra and Nehemiah gather God's people and lead them in covenant renewal with God. Remember, God's people were coming out of exile where they'd lost their sense of strength, faith, and purpose. These writings, Ezra and Nehemiah, were meant to remind them who God is and who they are, so apart from the cultural ideologies swirling all around them, they might regain their true identity. Strength is not in buildings and structures or people and stuff. Strength is found when we build our lives on God's love for us and his faithfulness to us. Whenever I lose sight of the joy of the Lord or try to build my life on something else other than God, things don't go well for me. Priest Ezra and Governor Nehemiah gather the people. They meet from dawn till noon for 7 days straight, and they call them back into covenant relationship with their Creator. This is what we've all been made for. If you were to read through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, I do encourage you to do that. One of the ways the people of God had turned away was by intermarrying with foreigners. There's much about this topic in these writings. Those intimate heart alliances with people who do not share the same faith and values had contributed to the people drifting away from God, their first love. And in my many years of pastoral work with couples, I have to say, spiritual alignment is vital when considering a life partner. When we ignore the faith component, compromise, or convince ourselves the spiritual side of the relationship will simply work itself out, I believe we underestimate the impact. Okay, it's getting late. It's time now to quickly land the plane with some final application centered around the big idea of Ezra and Nehemiah. It's best we rebuild our lives around God. Can you feel that hunger in your soul that only Jesus can fill? For those who've tried to build our lives on other things, possessions, relationships, adventure, career success, popularity, even our own religious achievement or ministry accomplishments, we need a rebuild. And if we're honest, some of us have residual pain, disappointment, and even deep brokenness as a result of chasing after or trying to build our lives on these things that can never satisfy. And today we carry the baggage or wounds that go with it. Here's the hope. As we rebuild our lives around him, Jesus wants to restore us and heal our brokenness. Belief that Jesus' death on the cross not only offers us salvation from our sins, but also the hope of mental, emotional, and physical healing has long been an Alliance Church distinctive. It's why in Acts 3, verse 19, the Apostle Peter teaches, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." When we surrender to God, he welcomes us in and offers his healing, restoration, and refreshing. Just want to take a moment now. I believe God wants to minister to our brokenness today. Just invite you to Bow your heads, close your eyes. Some of us are here today and we've been broken. Our hearts are heavy today. Perhaps for you, it's a relationship that you put a lot into that's fallen apart. Maybe today you came to Canada from leaving a lot of things behind and life has been difficult for you here. I believe God wants to minister to our brokenness today. Come, Holy Spirit. Some of us have put our hope on career success and it just hasn't delivered. Jesus, I pray for your healing touch today on our brokenness. I just invite you right where you're at just to turn to Jesus. Invite him to bring healing to your brokenness today. People of North Shore Alliance Church, receive the healing and restoration of Jesus for your brokenness today. Amen. Not quite done. In his 2024 book, Practicing the Way, Pastor John Mark Comer writes, "A large swath of people who believe in God and even regularly attend church have not re-architected their daily lives on the foundation of apprenticeship to Jesus. Truth is, we don't incorporate God into our life. God is our life, and we best build our lives on Jesus. Christian discipleship means re-architecting our daily lives around Jesus and his ways. Problem is, our culture and our sin nature try to convince us of the merits of our own autonomy apart from God. I know that when I try to move ahead of God or call my own shots and then ask God to bless them, things rarely go well for me or those around me. And I live with great angst. I'm learning there is no true life apart from Jesus." In Ezra and Nehemiah, something powerful happens when the people of God come together. Life built around God means gathering regularly with his people for worship and the word like we're doing today. Thanks for coming. John Eldredge writes, "Tuning into the voice of God is essential in Christian discipleship. Being committed to regular gatherings for worship and the word is how we hear God's voice, discern his wisdom, feel his love, draw strength from his presence. Yes, God meets us in solitude when we're praying privately or reading our Bibles. Yes, God does speak to us through creation, but more often God makes his presence known, touches us with his love, delivers his wisdom, correction, and healing when we gather with other people to worship and to hear his word. This, what we're doing here today, church, is vitally important. It's why the scriptures say, 'Let us not give up meeting together.' And the people of God have gathered weekly for millennia. It's because people of North Shore Alliance Church, it's right here when we're together that God loves to move among us." Amen. Thanks for listening. Just want to invite the worship team to come now. Prayer is available now during worship and after the service. Linda and Dugald are available to pray, I believe, over here. And I think I see Lise and Renee. They're available to pray up in the balcony for you. If something's on your heart today, a life situation God's been nudging you about, I encourage you to bring it to Jesus. Please go for prayer. Together now, let's respond to God in worship.
Thanks for joining us on the North Shore Alliance podcast. I hope this inspires you to jump into the Old Testament for yourself and experience the Word of God in a whole new way.